What's up, everybody? Hope you're excited as I am, because proper football is back. So without any further waffling, let's get into the fresh episode of Back on a Podcast. So Josh, like I said, yeah, proper football is back. And I've been counting down the days. So, how are you feeling about this?
I'm excited, though I'm not sure that the national FAs would appreciate you for saying that their international football isn't proper football. But I get your drift, though.
Well, who cares what they think? All I think is now I can't. My days of being bored are done.
Now, speaking of caring what people think, I think everyone needs to care about Arsene Wenger, because Arsene Wenger now has the power to make or to mar football as we know it. And on that note, now let's talk about what he said or what FIFA are planning to do. FIFA want to make the international break. Now, we know we have 4 international breaks in the season. So we had one, I think, early August or September. We had one just this past week. We'll have another one in November. And then there's the 4th one in either February or March, I'm not sure. So now that I feel like disrupting the season 4 times is too much. So he said he wanted to break it into just one window of 1 month international football. What do we make of this?
Honestly, like, I know a lot of people have different opinions about the international break and the way the entire setup about of how the entire thing is run, but I feel like it's not necessarily broken, so why change it?
Really? You don't think it's broken? Because I think it's really broken. I personally would appreciate if they make it 2 breaks, 2 weeks long. So instead of 4 times 1 week each, you have two times two weeks. And so obviously, those 2 weeks we would really miss club football, but at least we know that we're going to be on less than before. And I think
I get what you mean. So basically, you're just saying, oh, the players, they will now have this mindset of, okay, well, we'll be out for like basically over 2 weeks. Then when they are back, they know that they've played half of what they're supposed to, or they've done half of what they're supposed to do in terms of international level. I get what you mean, but me personally, if they choose to do your kind of format, I think it's not a bad format. But me personally, I don't even mind with the current format. But the Arsene Wenger format, I think that one is a bit of a stretch, and I don't like that one at all, if you ask me.
Yeah. Now the thing is, he said that he wants to make less games, or they FIFA want to make less qualifiers. So, for example, if teams are already playing 12 or 11 qualifying matches, you can't play 11 maybe. So let's say you're playing 12 qualifying matches, maybe they reduce it to 10 or whatever. He hasn't said by how much they're going to reduce it. Now, my problem with his format, his idea is, now you have teams. So for example, let's say someone is injured, a key player for his country is injured. Let's say Messi is injured for Argentina, Ronaldo is injured for Portugal. And so you have just that one window, and then that team is at a big disadvantage because you're not spreading it out. And let's say they're out for that 1 month that you say that international football should hold. I don't think that's fair on the country or the team in question. So that's one of my problems with it. The second problem is, I think 1 month is too big a disruption in the season. So you have the season starting, and then maybe in September they go out for 1 month. I think that's too big a disruption, and a lot can go wrong in that 1 month. In terms of the clubs, their key players could easily pick up injuries, either training in their countries or in action. So, no, absolutely not. Not 1 month, but I'll be happy for 2 weeks break, 2 times in the season. But we'll see how it goes. Now, another genius innovation from FIFA is that they want to make the offside decisions automated by 20, I think they said by 2023 or even as early as next year, where you have maybe no assistant referees anymore. and you just have a machine saying offside or onside. What do you think about this?
Honestly, it doesn't make any sense. I understand where they are going with it, but it doesn't make any sense because when you factor in that the linesman does more than just calling offsides, there are situations where you see the linesman actually advise the referee that, look, there was actually go ahead.
Yeah, just on that, I don't think they are trying to sack assistant referees entirely. Maybe they are just removing the offside duty from what they are meant to do.
Then you now have too many... it doesn't even make any sense because now you now have too many factions of so many things going on the pitch. So it doesn't make sense in my eyes. It doesn't make
sense. You're not a fan of technology. I mean, goal line technology has helped us. Now we know if a ball has crossed the line or not. Do you think that this would... Okay, now... Let me put it this way. Do you think this is going to remove all the controversy that comes with offside decisions, or is it going to make it worse?
I don't even think there's... Like, offside decisions are very, very simple. It's either offside.
They've not been simple in the Premier League for the last two seasons, have they?
They're the ones complicating it. But when you think of it, offside decisions are very, very simple.
It's okay, so let me ask you.
Offside.
Yeah. So let me ask you this. If someone's... foot, let's say a toenail, because we've seen goals ruled out for a toe being ahead of the other person. Is that offside or not?
Yes, it's offside because
how is it very... offside? What advantage has he gained by his toe being ahead of you?
Listen, offside decision is not a place of being. Let's make arguments because now if you say toenails tomorrow, this one will say my shirt. The next tomorrow, this one will say. In my shoulder.
Oh yeah, so thank you for saying shirt because I remember Bamford was offside by armpit last season in a game.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, offside decision is not like a decision where you say this one is subjective to this. No. If the player is not in the line, it's not in the line. That is it. That is very, very simple to understand. It's just the same thing when you check the tennis when the lawn tennis when they check the screen. For whether the ball hits the was in the court or was not in the court, it's very simple. It's either it's in or it's out. So I don't think there's any baseline.
I think that's more straightforward. I think that's as straightforward as football, where you say did the ball cross the line or not. I don't think it's the same thing as the offside decision.
To me,
it's the same thing as goal line technology.
No. To me, it's the same thing in the sense that you guys overthink it and saying toenails, blah blah blah. No, it's either you're
offside
or you're not. So that's
the club support. Have they had a goal ruled out for a stupid offside decision? I don't think they have. If not,
yes,
you won't be
saying this. Every time Barcelona always have issue of offside, especially those days of them trying to pass the ball into the net.
No,
so we've had
tiny marginal. Inconsequential offside decisions.
Yes, every club. If you go around and check, every club have had to face those kind of moments. But what I'm saying to you now, if you now start overlooking this one is tiny, so where do you now draw the actual line? When you start doing all those other things, it doesn't even make any sense. So it's just like the same analogy I used for you with the tennis ball. So now if the tennis ball is pissing the line a little bit, it's definitely still on, so people will now say no, it's off. So all the decisions are very simple. It's either it's black or it's white. There's no margin for being in the middle.
Okay, fair enough. Now finally with FIFA, this one blew my mind. Now we know Israel and Palestine are not the best of friends, but Giorgio Infantino, the FIFA president, said that he's hoping to see them host a World Cup together, like a joint bid, joint host. I'm just wondering, is he trying to win the Nobel Peace Prize? Because how on earth is this going to happen?
This is the same thing we keep saying. They keep dragging politics into football and they think they can actually solve everything. This is why I said to you before we came on, that as time goes on, people will start realizing because many fans are being brainwashed. That's why I'm so happy we have this platform to actually voice our opinions and educate most of the masses. Because right now, there are things behind the scene. It's just like the Qatar hosting the World Cup. Qatar is not a footballing nation. They don't have that pedigree. it's all about the money and the profits. And when you now look at the human rights things that goes on there, where they said people are being enslaved to actually work on stadiums and construct most of the things that will be used.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it happened. It happened. If you go and you read about it, it's there. And even some workers actually died, and they just swept it under the carpet. So it's just crazy when we try to start bringing politics into football. And I said this to you off air, that very soon I see the Super League happening very, very soon, because the clubs, they will soon realize. It's not like they will soon realize.
I mean, wait. Super League just from this? Or are you saying there are more things
There are more things. There are more to it. Like, look at now, we just talked about them trying to change the international formats. Now, this thing doesn't favor some clubs. You can even go more. We a few weeks ago, when we talked about them trying to make the World Cup being played every 2 years, you see, it doesn't still favor club football.
They're still on that. As Wenger, even I think when he was talking about this new format, he still had that in mind.
The reason why I'm saying this, we can even remember when I think it was in Asia, where they started carrying out tests of the matches being played 30-30 minutes or 15-15 minutes, just like NBA.
Ridiculous.
So you know, they're trying to bring things into football that doesn't even make any sense, and they're ruining the game. They're thinking they're trying to better the game, but there are some areas where they should really focus in that I feel to be for the betterment of the game. This is what I'm saying to you. Some decisions doesn't favor the clubs. And when... Not when. I think the clubs, they've realized this, but they are still on the fence right now. When they actually feel that they are confident about what they are trying to pull off, you will see that they won't care about FIFA or UEFA or any FA. Super League will happen, and it will be run by the clubs themselves.
Or maybe when they are fed up, maybe they are not completely fed up. Maybe they are unhappy, but they are still like, okay, we can still manage this. But maybe when they are completely fed up. Though I'm not fully in support of the Super League, and also at the same time I'm not happy with the way UEFA and FIFA treats the players, because they don't care about the players' welfare, like we've seen time and time again. Even Courtois complained about it last week. But for this exact situation, I think Infantino coming out to say that, I think he's living in a fairy tale world where everything is going to be perfect. Banya and friends world, I love you, you love me, we're one happy family. I think that he should face reality and see that that's a million miles away from happening, and don't even talk about it in the press. Just if it's a dream of yours, keep it as a dream of yours, keep it to yourself. Though if both nations happen to make peace and love each other, and maybe by 20, I don't know, maybe end of this millennium, then maybe it happens. But I don't think it's something you should be coming out to say, because it's looking so far away from happening. Exactly.
And since he's such a peacemaker, he should take a leaf out of Donnarumma's book and get a tattoo of both nations in his forehead. So I think those ones are.
I mean, you're not still letting this Donnarumma issue lie, are you?
No. We'll be on this forever.
No. I was shook, man. I was shook. Like, it was so ridiculous. But I don't know. All the best to him. Okay, now let's go to proper football. Like we love to call it. The Premier League is back, and I think we should start with the first game. 12:30 kickoff UK time. Liverpool facing Watford, Ranieri. So we know Watford are going to have the new manager bounce, but that's not even the only thing in their favor. We have Alisson and Fabinho not playing. Now, it's not even that they are injured. For people who might not know, Brazil played their game early hours of Thursday morning, and so Brazilian players will not be available for their Premier League sides this weekend, especially the ones playing on Saturday. Maybe if the club is playing on Sunday, maybe they could play. But for every Premier League club playing on Saturday, I don't expect their players to play. Now, if you're Klopp, how frustrated will you be because your number one keeper is out and your important central defensive midfielder as well?
I don't think you should be frustrated. Like, obviously, they knew that this will happen when they actually sent their players out for the international break. They didn't even have a choice in this one because the last time they actually imprisoned their players, which I think that was unfair.
You know the interesting thing is, I saw that Argentina is now not in the UK's red list, and I'm like, oh wow! So all of a sudden, the coronavirus situation in that country is that much better, or they just removed them because of the Premier League clubs and the issue they had with the Argentine Association the last time out. I just think too much politics going on in football.
Yeah, like to me, it was wrong from the clubs because these players, they have a duty to their nation to actually go and play. And I think looking at Liverpool, they should be able to cope without Fabinho and Alisson, for being honest. Because, yes,
Alisson, first choice keeper. Now, tell me how you would trust their youngster, Kehr, to play this game. Why would you want to play Kehr in a Premier League game? This is not the Carabao, for God's sake.
Okay, listen, who are they playing against?
Watford.
Okay, where is Watford on the table?
No. We cannot do that.
The reason why we're doing that is...
Every Premier League team... Well, okay. Right now, let me ask you this. Why is it that Alisson is never benched? Even when Liverpool faced Norwich. Norwich are the worst team in the Premier League. Why was Alisson not benched?
Because this is
a Premier League game.
No.
You have to take it seriously.
No. Listen. I'm not saying they're not taking it seriously. What I'm saying to you is... For the stature Liverpool are, and for the place Liverpool they are trying to get to, Alisson and Robertson and Fabinho, isn't their make or break to win that game against Watford? If they are not going to,
Thiago Alcantara is still injured, yeah. So who is going to play midfield? Henderson or who?
They have Milner. They have
Milner.
Is Chamberlain not still there? Curtis Jones still plays. Yes, they have players. This is
Chamberlain. Seriously.
Do you know? Like you're giving them excuses. These are the excuses I hate.
No. I feel like it's totally unfair. You're paying your players their salary, and their nations can just decide to keep them. Like, what stops them from playing the game a day earlier? What happened to Wednesday night? Why did they have
Thursday? It's because they have three games, so they spread it out. No, it's not even Thursday. It's early hours of Friday they actually played the game. That's midnight, morning of Friday.
Can you just imagine?
No. Listen. Let's be real now. Alisson and Fabinho, they are very important squad players to Liverpool. But what I'm saying to you is, Liverpool should still be able to get 3 points. That's just it. There's no... Like, if you go and ask Jurgen Klopp will make this excuse because they should still be able to go there and get 3 points. And
now,
to me, even...
Klopp himself said he was asked in his press conference and he said he was not going to use the word frustrated. Like, he's not going to say he's frustrated. But at the same time, the things he said showed that he was frustrated. So, it was quite comical to see, but at the same time, I felt his pain and anger because it doesn't make any sense. Yes, I agree with you that they are expected to win, but still, it makes no sense. The same way City would probably be without Ederson this weekend, the same way Chelsea are without Thiago Silva, it makes zero sense.
Exactly. Let's not act as if it's just Liverpool that is suffering from it. Every club in Europe.
So according to you now, it is fair because other teams are suffering from it. Why should they have to suffer?
No, I'm not saying it's fair that everyone is. What I'm just saying is no one will come out and be making excuses. They just need to find a way to win. Even the smaller teams.
I can tell you that Man United will not be too affected because it's just Fred missing. Without due respect, Fred.
No. Let's not do that. I disagree.
No. We have to do that because
Fred is an important player.
In context.
Okay, Fred is an important player to Manchester United because
he's
starting the game.
No, he is. McTominay has been starting for the last 2 weeks.
Okay, let me ask you. If Fred is fit, does Fred not start? Yes or no?
Is Fred that much better than McTominay?
No. It's very simple. It's a simple, direct question. If Fred is fit, does he not start?
He's not a sure starter. He's not.
This is where you're being disingenuous, because if Fred is fit, he always starts for Manchester United, and we all come here on this podcast.
So are you on this podcast telling me that United are going to miss Fred? Is that what I'm hearing from you?
Yes. If we're putting it in the context that you're going out now, that's Fred. I'm telling you now. What? If you really ask Oli, Oli will tell you that Fred needs to miss Fred. Yes, Manchester United fans will miss
Obviously,
Fred.
Obviously, he wants to say that to make the player happy.
That he will miss. No, he's not stating that to make the player happy. He's stating that because obviously if Fred was available for him, Ole would probably start
Fred. If you are the coach of United, will Fred be starting for you?
I'm not the coach of United, so I don't need to answer that.
If you were the coach of United, will Fred be starting for
No, there's no need to ask you that. The question I asked you was direct question, and you were being disingenuous.
You can't answer.
No, you are being disingenuous about my own question, and you want me to answer your own question. So I think it's unfair. We're moving the goalposts too much. So what I'm just saying, what I'm just saying at the end of the day.
No. I'm just telling you that. I know. You know the thing. Fred is now. Fred is a player that plays for United, but you cannot open your mouth to call Fred a crucial player for United. But look at Ederson.
Okay. Let me put it like this.
Look at Alisson.
Wait.
Let me put it like this.
Listen. Because fans doesn't like a player doesn't mean the player is not important for them. Just listen before you argue. Now, let's put it like this now. The manager sees Fred as an important member of his team. That's why the manager keeps starting Fred. If Fred is not important, he won't start Fred. Let's just be real. Let's forget about what we think about Fred personally. I think Fred is a terrible player. I've said it. I'm not hiding from it. But to the manager... To the manager, which is Ole, Fred is an important member to his starting 11. That's why Fred keeps starting every match. So that's what I'm saying. So it's not like it's just Liverpool that will go through this. I think if we're just going back to the Liverpool Watford game, let's just analyze it as a match instead of picking out holes in the team. When you look at it, Salah played on a Monday and Salah has rested for Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Salah now is back for them fresh. And we all know that Salah scored one of the goals of the season against Manchester City in his last time playing. And now Salah coming into this one.
Is he going to be in the goalpost though?
What I just want to highlight now is the positive is that Salah and some other of their players will be playing that game, and Salah is an important member to that team. And Salah facing Watford, which is one of his favorite opponents, Salah has scored 8 goals against Watford in his last 6 appearances in that fixture. So I think it's a very, very good fixture for a player like Mohamed Salah, and I think Liverpool will win the game. So that's my analysis on Liverpool Watford.
I'm tempted to go back to Fred. I'm really tempted because when you said you think he's a terrible player, I think that just summarized everything I was saying. So if we think he's an average or terrible player, that shows that United are not going to miss him. So that's all I'll say about that. Now, another thing Klopp spoke about the Newcastle takeover. He was basically whining, saying that now that means there's a new superpower, a new super club, and that he was now saying that he was not talking about the human rights record there. Like now, all of a sudden he cares about human rights so much. I just think he's scared about more competition. What do you think? He's scared of more competition.
This is Klopp for you. Klopp sometimes sometimes he behaves like Ronald Koeman. So. But what I'll just say is, I just think people they know what is coming and they are scared about it, so they should just mind their business and move on.
Exactly. I just find it very funny for him to come out to say this. Like, he doesn't want, obviously, what he wants is very little teams to be at the top. So he wants, obviously, he's already a bit miffed that Chelsea and City already have the powers backing them, and now he's angry that Newcastle will join that. So he wants lesser teams to be able to compete with them, which I understand from a selfish point of view. If I were in his shoes, I probably wouldn't be too excited about it. But at the end of the day, the Premier League had no problem with it, so he has to accept it and move on.
Yeah, exactly.
For the game itself, I think after all my rambling and everything, I still expect Liverpool to win, but it's not going to be as straightforward as it should have been had all their players been fit. That's all I'll say about it.
Just two players doesn't count, please. We're saying it as
just two players. Take away Messi and Neymar from PSG. They are just two players.
Yes, PSG should be expected to win because they still have quality in the squad. That's how it is. It's just very simple. Let's be real now. Let's be real. They're not facing... You're saying it as if they're facing Manchester City or something. They should win the game.
If they were facing City, it would have even been fair because both sides would be missing their number one keeper. But right now, it's not fair.
You're even saying it like they're even missing them for the entirety of the season. Well, let's just move on. Just one game.
Do you think, or not even do you think, we've seen situations where clubs lose out on the league by a point or even goal defense. What if Liverpool finish 1 point behind another team this season and then they drop points this weekend against Watford and it could be said that they wouldn't have dropped those points without Alisson? Will you just say it's just that one game?
That is their own problem because they should go there and win. Because they have the better squad and the better players. That's just it. It's very simple.
I see. So United face Leicester City away at the King Power Stadium. This is a very interesting game for me because United are now going to be without their two first-choice centre-backs with Varane picking up an injury during international duty for France. And Harry Maguire, club captain, is also out. Do United, how will I put this? Are United still expected to win? Or are we going to forgive them for dropping points?
Whatever game Manchester United play, they should be expected to win. That is big club mentality. That's why they are a big club. And that's why they should still be talked about in terms of being title contenders. So what I would say is from Maguire and Maguire and Varane, they've been playing since, and their defensive record have been abysmal. They've not kept any clean sheets. So I don't know what difference that wants to actually make. But what I'll just say is it's Dahir has been saving them, and I think Dahir still being in the post will be crucial for them. And I think if they actually get the combination right, I think Lindelof will start. I don't know who will partner with him. I think Lindelof will start. And I think this is a game where Ole will tell you he will miss Fred because he likes going with two pivots, two holders, so that he can actually cover for the defensive.
Matic is at the club, isn't he?
Yeah, so Matic is still there. So I just think, like, obviously, when you look at Manchester United's firepower up front, we all know that Ronaldo has extended his club, his international record, by scoring a hat-trick. And now he has scored more hat-trick. I think he has 10 hat-trick in the international level now, which is a record on its own. Is it 10 or 8? I've forgotten the
actual record. 10, it's 10.
Yeah,
it's 10.
Yeah. So I feel looking at that, Ronaldo coming into this, I think Ole now will even be regretting because he actually rested Ronaldo for the international fixture instead of playing very dumb move. So I think now Ronaldo coming in back fresh because Portugal played their games early. And Ronaldo has been there since. So even Pogba, having Pogba back early, because Pogba has been at United, I think, since Monday or so. So having those players early and back fresh and fit will be crucial for them. And I think they should be expected to get all 3 points. Because looking at Brendan Rodgers, I don't know what is wrong with him. He has been bottling some of the games against Crystal Palace. They bottled it. And coming into this one, we all know that Jamie Vardy is quite in a good form. So Jamie Vardy could be, coming into this game, there's an interesting form fact. Jamie Vardy could become the second oldest player to score in 4 consecutive games if he bags this weekend. So that's a record that Jamie Vardy will be chasing after. So if he actually scores in this game, he'll actually get that record. And I hope he does because I don't like United fans being so happy.
Okay, so you basically just said it there, and guys, you can come at him because he just said he doesn't like your club. But you gave a very low blow there, saying that Varane and Maguire haven't kept a clean sheet, so them missing doesn't make any difference. I would have said yes, but then when I look at the replacements, I'm worried that it could get a lot worse because Lindelof is not bad, but Eric Bailly is so rash in his decision making, makes very, very unnecessary tackles and gets booked and gives away penalties almost every match. And now, guess what? Phil Jones is still a Manchester United player. And he might as well be on the bench for this game. So who knows? So who knows if I'm not praying for it, but if we have Lindelof or Eric Bailly getting injured in the first half or something, then Phil Jones is going to make his return, the return of the king, and we'll see how that goes.
Hold on. So, yeah, before we move on, I know we don't have time because we want to speed this thing up. But what I'll just say is, this is why I'm happy that football is back. I'm so excited to watch Phil Jones this weekend. I'm excited. I'll bring out the popcorns. I'll bring out the drinks. I'm excited.
But I don't think he's going to start. I'll be shocked if he starts. I don't think we're going to watch him unless there's an injury to Bailly or Lindelof.
No problem. We'll see. But I'll be licking like my lips for that. Like, we'll see.
I mean, if Ole Gunnar Solskjaer should start Phil Jones, then I don't know. Let me not say anything further than that. I don't know. For the Leicester point of view for this game, I agree with you that Brendan Rodgers has been getting some things wrong. And I think for me, a key decision he has gotten wrong this season is he has not been starting Ian Achor, because this is not even me bringing Nigerian bias or anything, because Ian Achor was on fire towards the end of last season, and this season started and he started benching him. But I'm asking myself, what changed from the man who was on fire just as recently as May and new season starts in August and he's on the bench, even after scoring as a substitute against City in the Community Shield? And then I actually understood it, because a lot of managers do this thing whereby they have their system, their preferred system, and if a player is in such good form that you cannot ignore it, then you change your system to put the player. But once the season ends, the person goes back to the bench. So we've had situations. Guardiola is the king of doing this. We have a season where Bernardo Silva is Man City's best player. The next season, Bernardo Silva does not play at all or hardly plays. Same thing with Sterling. One season, magnificent. Next season, nonsense. Or either way, first season, like Bernardo Silva was nowhere to be found last season. This season, he's started like a house on fire. Last season, Mahrez was incredible. This season, he's hardly getting a kick. So I think managers look at every season as a, like, it's funny because they look at every new season as actually a new season. Like, they don't care what you did last season. And I find it very strange at times. And Brendan Rodgers definitely falls into that category. But maybe Ian Achor would find favor in his side this weekend, because you might want to go with two strikers to target that makeshift United defense. So for me, I would not be surprised if Ian Achor starts this weekend. And if let me say, if Ian Achor starts this weekend, I think Leicester City will get the draw, a win. If he doesn't start, then United might just get away with that shaky defense.
Senior man kills. Nice.
Though I wouldn't advise anyone to buy him in FPL just yet. We have to see him start consecutive matches before we can see that. Manchester City against Burnley, also missing their first choice goalkeeper in Ederson, but for some reason I think this is more comfortable than Liverpool against Watford.
I think there's no need speaking too much about it.
And you know the reason. I think the last four games City have played Burnley at home, I think the last four have been 5-0. So wow.
Exactly. That's why I said there's not even need wasting much time on this. What I would just highlight is Manchester City could become the first team in English football to win 5 home games in a row against the same opposition by 5 goals or more. So that's the record for you there. If it happens, cool for them. I think they might actually be targeting this. That's why when you look at it, many people in FPL, they're actually going for City midfielders and defenders, because you actually know that this is a fixture that is actually good here historically for Manchester City, especially in the last 3-4 seasons.
Yeah. There's something I want to say about, like you said, but I might as well just save it for the FPL segment. But I mean, City this weekend, if you're a betting man, would you bet 5-0 correct score again this week? Would you?
Maybe. It just depends, maybe. Because when you think of it, yeah, Pep Guardiola, most of his players will be fresh coming into this one, because the Spaniards he has, they actually had their international fixtures early and they are back in fresh. The English guys he has, I think the England, their fixture was on Tuesday, so they are back in early. So everyone is back in early and fit and firing. The only players that you'll be missing are the Brazilians in the squad. But looking at it, they can actually cope, because this is Manchester City. We all know the strength and depth that they have. So I think this is a fixture that, if you actually look at it, is a very, very good fixture for Manchester City. And they'll be firing all cylinders.
You mentioned Spanish players back, but unfortunately, one of them is not back healthy. That's Ferran Torres. Pep has said that he's going to be out for 2.5 months or maybe 3 months. That was the quote. So at least 2.5 months or full 3 months. So we wish him a speedy recovery. I think it's just sad, because this is a guy that was showed a lot of promise during this international break, and now he cannot fight for a starting shirt at this club for the next 3 months.
Very sad. We wish him speedy recovery.
And still on City players, lastly, before we move on, Raheem Sterling gave a very interesting interview the last few days. He said that he's open to moving abroad because he wants to play regularly and he wants to test himself abroad and blah, blah, blah. What do you make of this? Do you think he's chickening out of a fight? Because now, all of a sudden, he's not in favor with Guardiola, unlike 2 or 3 seasons ago where he was always starting every match. Do you think he's trying to run away? Or do you believe when he said he always wanted to play abroad?
I think this is just him twerking at Barcelona, because we all know that he has been linked to Barcelona. So this is just him twerking. And he might actually get the move, because Guardiola has ruled him off, like, from his plans. You can clearly see the way Guardiola rates him these days. So I don't know. He might actually go to Newcastle. Newcastle starts pulling off the signings they want to make.
Then that's not abroad, is it? That's obviously not abroad. So he would have gone back on his words.
But I wouldn't be surprised if he still goes abroad, because we all know the financial situation that Barca find themselves in. And if Sterling is available for a very decent fee, I think Barcelona would snap at it.
Okay, but just on the side note, he said he was asked what language is he keen on learning. So like that's like asking him what league does he want to play in, and he said French. So I think maybe he's tracking to PSG, not Barcelona, because I mean French is obviously PSG. He's not going to go to Lille or Montpellier, so it has to be PSG.
If he goes to PSG, then I don't see why he left Manchester City, because it's from bench to bench.
Oh no, but Mbappe is leaving, so Sterling for Mbappe, is that not a possibility?
That means PSG don't have ambitions.
You don't rate Sterling, do you?
I don't rate him, but like he may waste a lot of chances, but still he's a good player.
Okay. Speaking of I mean, would you rate actually? You don't rate Ederson, you don't rate Sterling. Okay. That's for another day though. We'll talk about Sterling in depthly. Maybe when he scores or something, we'll talk about whether you rate him then. We have the West London Derby, the wild, wild West London. Brentford and Chelsea square off. I think from all the fixtures this weekend, this looks like the most likely to carry an upset. Am I right?
Yes, because when you look at it, there's actually a record for this one. So after the win against West Ham before the break, Brentford became the first newly promoted side to avoid defeat in their first 4 Premier League away games since Hull City in 2008, 9 seasons. So that's actually a good record for them. This is actually why we've been saying that Brentford, they will stay up, because they actually know how to play proper football. They defend as a team, they attack as a team, and they do everything together. And looking at the way they actually go about it, I think they will stay up. And this might be an interesting fixture for Chelsea. I think Chelsea will win, but I think it won't be as straightforward as people actually think.
I mean, I worry for Chelsea this weekend because no Thiago Silva, no Antonio Rudiger, who has a back problem, according to Hansi Flick, that's a German coach. So you have those two absent. You have, thankfully for Thomas Tuchel, he has Lukaku back and available after he missed Belgium's game. Meaningless third place fixture against, I've even forgotten who. Against Italy. But even with all these injuries, like you said, we still expect Chelsea to win. But does it, how will I put this? Who is going to stop Ivan Toney? You have no Thiago Silva, no Rudiger. So you have Aspi, Christiansen. Who else makes up the back three?
I think there's Chalobah as well. It just depends. And they might, if they want to, they can actually go for a back four. I've not seen Chelsea play back four for a long
time. I mean, you can't just change the system just like that, can you?
Yeah, but still, like, if you don't have the players to play that certain system, you really need to change. But we'll see how... Yeah, go ahead.
I'm not sure if James is back. I think James is back. And so if James is back, you could easily have James swing back, Aspi, Christiansen. You mentioned Chalobah. He has played well when he has been called upon. So, yeah, maybe that's an option. But obviously, you would feel more comfortable if it was Rudiger instead of Chalobah.
Yeah, that's true. But I think either way, whatever Chelsea, whatever system they want to go for, Chelsea, I think they'll get 3 points, because when you look at it, Chelsea, they just have that firepower. Their firepower is just too much for anybody. Having Lukaku, Werner, Mason Mount, who is back right now, I have that as well. So I think their firepower is just too much, and I think that will be what decides the game for Chelsea.
Let's see. Chelsea are favourites to win, but I will not be shocked if they drop points, because Brentford are a very good, fearless team. So we have to wait and see on that one. We have Arsenal ending the weekend action against Crystal Palace on Monday. I mean, not too much to talk about here. Or is there Vieira going back to the club that adores him, but he's trying to cause an upset?
I don't think there is anything to really highlight here, but what I'll just say is, you know, when your game is during the week, like when, for example, Chelsea play on a Saturday, when you play on a Saturday, if you have a bad result, no one actually really cares, because there are so many teams playing that day. But when you play on a Monday, and you actually
isolated,
like the whole world will see it. There's nowhere to hide. So that's what I'll just say for us now. If you guys...
I thought you wanted to give a low blow of saying that it's because they're not in Europe, they're playing on Monday.
No. We all know that one. That's common knowledge at this point. But what I'll just say is, if they lose, the whole world will see it, and they'll be burnt out for it, because there's no real matches happening on Monday.
But I don't expect Arsenal to lose. I expect them to win. And just on Arsenal, still on Arsenal, their defender Ben White said that he prefers to be called Benjamin, not Ben, and that he didn't used to watch football growing up. How can you be a footballer and you not like watching football?
Yeah, that tells you the kind of players Arsenal signed. Like, I don't even understand. It tells you everything about the club.
I was very surprised to hear that. I have to tell you, I was very, very shocked. Now we save the biggest fixture for last, the biggest in terms of the attraction. Yeah?
No, go ahead.
The biggest fixture, that's the Newcastle United and Tottenham Hotspur fixture. And Steve Bruce is going to be left in charge, at least, even if it's just for sentimental reasons, he's going to have his 1,000th game in charge.
You've been hammering that 1,000 game, so finally you've gotten it. So
happy.
Of course.
No, I'm serious. I am because to be stuck on $9.99 would have been a terrible, terrible feeling.
Of course. Do you think the Newcastle fans are happy about that? You're not a fan of them.
No,
so...
I think the Newcastle fans don't care. I think as far as Mike Ashley is gone, then they're happy.
Okay. But what I'll just say is coming into this one, I know the Newcastle fans will be excited. First time they'll be they'll have a game that since Mike Ashley sold the club. So coming into this one, Tottenham, they've scored at least once on each of their last 16 visits to St. James's Park. So coming into this, they should be wary of Tottenham. And looking at the firepower in Son, I think Son will actually have a field day if they don't actually pattern up.
How low Harry Kane has fallen that you didn't even mention him when you talked of Spurs firepower?
Wait, is Harry Kane still a footballer? I didn't even remember.
Come on now. Are we doing this? I mean, players go on goal scoring droughts. It's not the end of the world.
Exactly. Goal scoring drought. Players go on goal scoring drought. But Harry Kane has not gone on goal scoring drought. He's not even a goal scorer anymore. He's not even a footballer anymore. You don't see him on the pitch. You don't see him on the score sheet. So
he has like 4 or 5 goals in the Europa Conference League. He scored a hat trick, didn't he?
Of course. Conference League. Of course. Well done to him. Congratulations to him on scoring in the Conference League. The England captain.
I mean, wow. On a serious note, I'm beginning to get worried for Harry Kane, but maybe the international break could have given him a chance to clear his head and come back. But even international break, he didn't play well for England when he played, so I don't know. I really don't know. I like to think that he's getting his head cleared, because I think the City field move is still affecting him, so the sooner he gets over that, the better for him and for Tottenham Hotspur. And for this game, I think Newcastle will be fired up. And let me put it this way. If Newcastle don't get the result with all the excitement and joy around the club, then I worry for Steve Bruce's job.
Yeah, same.
So let's go to the Spanish La Liga, where we have dubious activities going on. I spoke about my anger at the Brazilian FA, the match, and the fact that key players are going to be missing for their clubs. Of which, I forgot to mention, the Premier League big boys actually contributed. So you had City, United, Chelsea, Liverpool putting money together to send the Jets to bring back 9 Brazilian players, so at least they can cooperate off the field. That's good to see. Now for the La Liga, they've cancelled 2 games. Madrid don't play this weekend. Atletico Madrid don't play this weekend, which is also one of the things Klopp complained about, that their opponents in the Champions League are going to be resting this weekend. But that in the Premier League, everyone will complain that, oh, why are they doing this favor for Liverpool? I know we've talked about this before, the other international break that they cancelled Barcelona's game, but I'm not really comfortable about this cancelling games, because it's a disadvantage for the big clubs. Might as well just swallow it and live with it.
Yeah, exactly. I feel that way too. I feel that way. Like,
No. But you didn't feel this way when they cancelled Barcelona's game the last time, did you?
I said it. The recordings are there. I said it, like, the big clubs obviously have the squad, but when you look at it, when you look at the opponents they are playing, their opponents, it's because of their opponents that are doing this. That's why I said to you, for Barcelona, when they canceled Barcelona's game, it's not just mainly because of Barcelona, it's because of the opponents, Seville and the others that were involved, because they have South American players.
Of course.
I'll just say it's like, obviously, I'm not the one making the rules, but this is what it is. But what is bothering me is that we are the only big club that is playing. And if we lose, everyone will see us. There's nowhere to hide. That's what I'll just
say. But you guys are facing, or let me say Barcelona are facing Valencia this weekend. You had Aguero getting on the score sheet in a friendly. You had Coutinho also scoring in a 2-0 win. So it looks like good times for Barcelona.
There's no good times for Barcelona as far as Koeman is there.
Sergio is back. That should be good news.
Which Sergio? Sergio Aguero?
Yeah.
Okay. Because we have Sergio Roberto.
I just said he scored in the friendly.
That's a friendly. That's, see, the thing is, everything is about Koeman. Koeman might decide to play Aguero as a center back because Araujo is out. Koeman makes dubious decisions. So everything is still on Koeman. So it doesn't matter if Aguero scores in a friendly, scored a hat trick, blah, blah, blah. It doesn't, no one. Me, I don't really care. All that matters to me is that Koeman is still there, and I don't see the club progressing if Koeman is still there. That's just the truth.
But it's not all doom and gloom because you have Pedri signing a new contract with a 1 billion release clause. I think contract due to expire in 2026. Good for Barcelona because I talked about the fact that his contract was set to expire at the end of the season, and that Newcastle might have been locking.
Yeah, you know, ever since Barcelona lost Neymar, because Barcelona didn't believe that anyone can pay that 222 million. So Barcelona has had this PTSD. So they actually put ridiculous
600, 800, 1 billion.
Exactly. So that in case anyone matches it, they know that yes, they are in for a payday. So that PTSD still lives rent free in their head.
No matter how good Pedri gets, someone is going to pay 1 billion for him.
Exactly. That's the plan. So the plan is to put those kind of teams there so that they can actually deter clubs from their players.
If I'm a player, I wouldn't agree to such. I want to have a release clause that someone can actually pay for me to get out. Why would I agree to a 1 billion release clause if I'm Pedri?
It depends on the deals or the details in the contract. Because Barcelona, honestly, I'll tell you this. Barcelona is not like Tottenham that will tie anybody. If there's a decent fee or an offer for any player, Barcelona will let you go. If you've said that you don't want to play for them.
Yes. Did they let Messi go last season?
Who? Messi?
Messi was actually about to go to court, wasn't he?
No, that was the Batomi. No, the Batomi is not. Batomi just
okay. erased. No, but you erased, said Barcelona.
He erased Batomi from Barcelona's history because Batomi is not even involved. Did you even see what he said this week? He said that the club wasn't mismanaged. Like,
yeah?
How can someone come out and say that? Like, the club didn't fall due to mismanagement. The club fell due to COVID. That the club was meeting record profits, record revenue according to Forbes and blah blah blah. It was COVID that cost everything.
He's telling a half truth because Barcelona wouldn't have gone off the edge without COVID. But the only reason that they fell off the edge was because they were too close to the edge even before COVID.
Like they will see, even if COVID wasn't there, like we'll still get to this point because like it just still marks everything. Like, oh, we're still there. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's the truth.
Okay, so let me try to be a bit maybe dubious or cynical, but does this mean that Barcelona now rate Pedri higher than Ansu Fati because they renewed Pedri's contract and Ansu Fati is still there with 1 year left on his contract? So on a scale of preference, is Pedri now ahead of Fati?
No.
You can't say no because they had the chance to renew both and they chose Pedri first.
No, the thing is, I'll tell you now, like, Ansu Fati in the next two weeks or so, he will be renewed. It's just that they're still finalizing one or two details. And Jorge Mendes have been in Barcelona for the past 3 days or 2 days or so to actually finalize the deal for Ansu Fati. So that's just what is going on right now. So I think Fati will be
Fine, they are going to renew both players, but the importance should still be the player who was renewed first, right?
You're just looking for something that is not there. So
I know I'm just trying to be logical with my thinking because if I have two important things, there's always going to be one that is slightly more important. And this looks like Pedri is now slightly more important to Barcelona.
Well, that's your own opinion. You're looking for something that is not there.
Okay. Let me ask you, who is more important to the future of Barcelona now? Pedri and
both of them are important to the future of Barcelona.
You have to pick one.
No, they are not picking anyone. This is a team sport.
You're chickening out as usual, aren't you?
As usual, no problem. You can say what you want, but this is a team sport. If football is not played by one player alone, it's played by 11 players. So both are important to the future of Barcelona.
Okay. I understand why you don't want to answer that question, so that other Barcelona fans won't come for your head. But now, another player whose contract is expiring quickly, Dembele. Now, if you're the one in charge at Barcelona, if you're a board member or the president, do you cut your losses on Dembele and say, this was a failed signing, we regret buying him, and we just let him go for free? Or do you actually give him a renewal and probably a pay hike?
Honestly, I'll wait till January and see if clubs are willing to get him. If any club is coming for him, then we sell him. But and I think he will bring a decent fee.
How much realistically do you think Barcelona can make from Dembele in January? Realistically,
I think realistically, like honestly, they can make 40 million from him. Anything what? Above 40
why,
million.
Why would you pay 40 million for someone that will be free in the next 6 months?
Because you guys forget something. Players, things change quickly in football. So if Dembele doesn't go in January, then they cannot tie him to a long-term contract. So that's just how it is.
You might as well agree with Dembele to come for free in the summer.
Okay, free contract agreement. No problem. If all those things are gambles. We've seen it fail sometimes. So it's just gamble at the end of the day. But what I think is Barcelona will end up renewing Dembele and he will stay and take a pay cut, a significant pay cut.
Pay cut? Yes. I doubt it, but we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
Now, over to the Bundesliga. We have one big game this week. Leverkusen host Bayern Munich. So, I mean, at least something to really look forward to in the Bundesliga.
The Bayern Liga. Well, I think Lewandowski would have missed his boys. Because Lewandowski, I don't know why he didn't take the Lukas Podolski route and others to just play for Germany. But I'll just say this, like, I think I'll expect them to...
I mean, like, he looks so German right now, doesn't he?
Everything about him screams German, but I think this one will be... It won't be that straightforward, but I think Bayern will win. Probably with 3 goals.
3 goals? I mean, Leverkusen are actually on the same points with them at the top, don't forget.
But this is their opportunity to actually pull away from them.
My boy Florian Wirtz is going to be playing. Don't sleep on him. 4 goals, 5 assists, 7 games.
I won't lie to you. I've not seen him play that much, so I will check him out.
I watched the game against Celtic in the Europa League. I watched that one live, and I mean, I was really impressed. He got on the score sheet in that game, but his overall play for an 18-year-old, his understanding of football is just incredible. He knows when to pass, he knows when to hold on to the ball, he knows when to drop attention to himself and free his teammates, then lead that pass. Like, he just looks like a top talent.
That's good. I'll check him out.
But unfortunately, he's not the only one that is going to be on the pitch. He's not going to be the one marking Lewandowski in defense. So, I think as well as he might play, Bayern will probably win.
Yeah, exactly. That's why it's called the Bayern Liga for a reason.
Called that by only you, I'm sure. Then this year, we have Lazio versus Inter Milan. Interesting game.
Interesting game. Like, I feel Inter, they need to win this game because those at the top, they are pulling away. We touched on Napoli in the previous podcast before the international break, where we said Napoli... People are sleeping on them. They actually might actually win the Serie A this season. But we all know that Napoli has a very good first 11. But other than that, they don't have a good squad. Inter has the better squad in Serie A, in my opinion. And I think these are the games Inter should be winning. But I think it might actually be... It might not be as straightforward as we actually think. But last season, Inter didn't lose this fixture. So Inter should look at this and try to build their record.
But I mean, this game is too close to call, is it? Or Inter are favorites?
Yeah, I think it's tight because coming into this one, Lazio lost just one in their last 5 games. Lazio won.
But But Lazio really haven't been in the best of form, have they?
Yeah, you can say the same for Inter. Inter, they've won 3 of their last 5. They drew 2. So, like, looking at it, they are in kind of in a similar form. But that's what I would say. But their last, but looking at Lazio's last defeat was against Bologna, and that was 3-0, and that was like at the beginning of this month. So I think coming into this one, Inter, they might just be slight favorites, but I think it's still close.
I think Inter have to win this game because Lazio haven't been in form. But sometimes when you go out, when you go away from club football for the international break and you're in bad form, sometimes it helps you to get away from the negativity in the dressing room and everything, and you guys can come back refreshed after playing for your countries. Though, we'll see how that one goes. Inter Milan, reports, interesting reports actually, that they could be bought by the same people that just bought Newcastle. Because now we know Inter Milan are having financial difficulties. And what if this actually happens, that they end up buying both Newcastle and Inter Milan?
I think it would be exciting. And I'll just say this out there. I've been supporting Inter since 2006, since Latin days.
Of course,
I've been a huge fan of them. I've been a huge fan. So I'll just say this out there, just in case.
You are shameless. You are just shameless. But if you're a Newcastle fan, are you not worried that the owners are not 100% committed? Because they just bought your club just last week and they're looking to buy another club. That shows that they don't really care 100% about Newcastle.
No, I don't think that is it. That is the case. I think they are just trying to replicate what Sheikh Mansour did at Manchester City. You know, the Manchester City groups, they have clubs all over the world. They have in Australia, even in Germany, America as well.
But they have one in a major league that's just one. So you can have, like, they have New York City FC in America, but at least you know that Man City is their main project. Now, if you have Inter Milan, already a big club, and Newcastle, who they promised to make a big club, so who is going to be their priority? Which of them? I think that's where it becomes difficult, because the City owners have spread it in a way that, you know, that Man City is still their main project.
But at the end of it, I just think if Manchester City group, they can afford to get another big club in their peer, in their structure of the thing they're trying to build, they will actually do that. But I just think we'll just wait and see. Like, all these are still rumors, so we'll just wait and see if it happens or not.
It's still just early days. It's a rumor, so I mean, it would be incredible if it happens. I mean, wow. Just imagine. Imagine Newcastle and Inter Milan facing each other in like a Champions League final. The owners won't care because one of their clubs is going to win the Champions League.
If he happens like that, like they'll even be celebrating like before the final kickoff. Like, just like whoever wins, we win.
Both sets of fans won't be happy with that.
Yeah, exactly. But they will see themselves as brothers, Newcastle and what is it called?
They won't see themselves as brothers at all. The fans of Newcastle will only care about Newcastle.
Like brothers, what I mean, for example, maybe Newcastle gets knocked out in, for example, in the Champions League. The Newcastle fans will now start supporting Inter and be like, okay, win the competition. So that, you know, all this kind of thinking.
I could see that happening. Okay, so that brings us to the end of club football action. Now for the FPL segment.
All right. So now looking at this, coming into the game week 8, a lot of us have used our wild card for previous game weeks. So if we could really quickly talk about a main template that people can work with, because online you could see that many people, they are trying to go with the Chelsea or Manchester City back line. The midfield, they are going with some points and in the attacking areas, like everyone is making sure that they bring in Lukaku. So what is the actual template people can work with if they are trying to use their wild card going into this game week?
Okay, so I would say some players are absolute, I won't say absolute musts, but I'll say I recommend them. I'll say get Lukaku because of Chelsea's fixtures. Though we talked about Brentford this weekend, it's not an easy match, but you still wouldn't bet against Lukaku's coin. And then even further down the line, the next 4 or 5 games for Chelsea look very winnable. And if they are very winnable fixtures, then Lukaku is probably the man to get because he's the biggest goal threat Chelsea have. So I'll say get Lukaku, get a City defender, probably Cancelo, get a Chelsea defender. Now, no more Rudiger because he's out. So, I don't know. You might go Christiansen and save money. You might go with James for attacking potential. You might go Aspi. I think it's a toss of a coin for the Chelsea defender you go for. But you go for a Chelsea defender, a City defender. Obviously, Salah has to be in your team. Trent has to be in your team. I think Mbeumo is a good shout as well. 5.5 million is listed as a midfielder in FPL, but he plays as a striker alongside Ivan Toney. I think he's someone you should have in your team if you're on a wild card. I think an Arsenal defender or Aaron Ramsdale looks like a good option. Maybe Ben White, because he's just 4.4 million, or Ramsdale looks like a decent option. And I think those should be the cornerstones. And of course, Livramento, who Southampton look like they have good fixtures, because on the fixture difficulty rating, they are number two, only to Chelsea. So Southampton have good fixtures coming up. And Livramento is just 4.2 million. So I think if you have those core six or so players, then you can add more to those players.
Okay, fair enough. So moving on, I just want to touch on the back line that you said, and even the back line we've seen in the entire FPL community. Like, people are going for like either doubling up on a Chelsea defender and having one of Manchester City defender, or they are doubling up on a Manchester City defender and having one of a Chelsea defender. Why some people are going with the strategy of having both, that is doubling up on Chelsea defender and a Manchester City defender? What do you think about the entire dynamics unfolding there?
I think I'm in support of doubling up on one, but not two. So you pick whichever team. I think you can't argue against either. So either you double up on Chelsea, pick one City, or double up on City, pick one Chelsea. But I don't think you should double up on both of them, because that will leave you playing with a four at the back system, which might limit the potential you have, because there are a lot of good budget players in FPL who can score goals as midfielders. So I think I'd rather play three at the back, and so you probably don't want to double up on the two teams. So that was my take on it.
Okay, so before we move on, so who should be the ones we go for? So if, for example, for doubling up on a Manchester City defender, who should be the two? Or if we're going for a Chelsea defender, who should be the two? Picks we should go for?
Good question. I think Ruben Dias for City is a must, because he plays virtually every match. So if you're going City double up, I say Dias and Cancelo. If you're going Chelsea double up, I would have said Rudiger, but he's currently injured. So I'd say Azpilicueta and Reece James. But if Rudiger is back, then probably Azpilicueta and Rudiger.
All right, cool. So let's go on to the midfield area now. For the midfield areas, we've seen that some of our picks, like, for example, most people have Rafinha in their team. So what do you think the strategy should be? Because looking at it, it seems like Rafinha is set to miss this game week 8.
I think if you have good... This is why I stress having a good bench, because if you have Rafinha flagged, as obviously he's flagged. So if you have Rafinha and you have a good bench, I don't think you should panic. I think if you have a good bench, someone can come on for him. But if you have players who don't even play for their teams on your bench, then you have to sell Rafinha this week.
Okay. But, like, you recommend selling him, because long-term, he seems like a very good option.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I don't even recommend selling him. I don't recommend selling him. I only recommend selling him if you don't have anyone at all to come on. But if you have someone to come on, let that person from your bench come on, and then you just hold it for a week, and then you play him next week.
All right, cool. You mentioned earlier about having options, like midfield options that are actually cheap and they can actually get goals. So who are the players you have in mind, or the ones on your watch list?
So, I've already mentioned Mbeumo, Conor Gallagher, Doucouré, Townsend, Damari Gray. I mean, these are all players who started the season at 5.5. Some have gone above that, but Mbeumo is still just 5.5 million. So I think players like this are a real bonus for everybody who plays FPL, because I think you should have at least one of these players I mentioned on your team.
Okay, but don't you think like the like going for Everton picks are actually like it's a trap, because so many people are having Doucouré, Townsend. But do you actually see them as good long-term picks?
I think I'm a bit skeptical about Doucouré, because we've seen him play more advanced because of the injuries to Calvert-Lewin and Richarlison. I think once both of them are fit, then Doucouré goes back to a more defensive role for Everton. And so he will still be playing well, but for FPL, he won't be getting goals and assists like he's getting now. But for the remaining two, Townsend and Gray, maybe one of them goes to the bench. Maybe both of them still play alongside Richarlison and Calvert-Lewin. But if both of them still play, then I'll say you can keep them, because they will still be attacking. And then they have the option of now feeding balls to Calvert-Lewin and getting assists from that.
Okay, no problem. So we've seen now people, like, I just want to talk about some attacking pawns that people are going for. So we've seen Jimenez. You laughed at me when I had Jimenez and he came good for me in the last game week. So we've seen Jimenez, we've seen Huang, and we've seen Tony in the picture due to the fact that those three guys I just mentioned have good fixtures. So who do you think, because in the strategy some people are going for, they're going for Huang so that they can use the money elsewhere to actually improve the team. So who do you think is the best out of the three options? Or do you think we should have all three? Or because I've seen a team that contains all three in the attack. They didn't even go for a premium in the attack. So who do you think we should go for?
Oh, wow. Someone has all three. That's a brave man. I'd say go for one. Don't go for more than one. I'd say if you have one of those and you have Lukaku, Ronaldo, then Antonio, I think that could be a standard team up front. But for if you have to go for just one, I'd say go for Ivan Toney. Brentford have good fixtures. I know they are facing Chelsea this week, but after this week, it looks like they have good fixtures. And Ivan Toney is the main man. We know that he's going to start. He's on penalties. Everything goes through him. So I'd say go for Ivan Toney.
Okay, so moving on. The attacking options, some people are going for two premium, that's having Ronaldo and Lukaku. Or do you think we should go for either one of them? Or some people are even bringing the forgotten men, which is Vardy or Harry Kane. So what do you think?
Oh, wow, Harry Kane. That's very, very brave. I would actually go for Harry Kane if I see him like start scoring, because I'm one of those people that have the two premiums. I have Lukaku and Ronaldo, and I'm tempted to sell Ronaldo. I'll just give him this game against Leicester. I know it sounds crazy because it's Ronaldo, I mean, but Vice, which he is just too much for me to have a player that might not be. Because for that price, I think he should be scoring at least maybe three goals every five games or something like that. And with the fixtures United have coming up, I'm not so sure that he might do that.
Okay, but what about Jamie Vardy?
Jimmy Vardy is an interesting one, because I think the problem Vardy has in FPL is that he's too expensive. So Vardy feels like Vardy is in that weird space where he's not a premium, like he's not up to 12 million or 12.5 million, but at the same time, he's not a budget striker. He's not 8 million or 7.5. So he's weirdly priced. I think if Vardy was 9 million or 8.5, a lot of people have him in their team. But because it's 10.5, people are skeptical. People are saying that I might as well just add the extra 1 million and buy Lukaku, who you feel will be better long term. So Vardy is strangely priced, and I think that's why he has low ownership.
All right. Okay. So you've touched on the forgotten man. So no problem. When should we be looking to ship Antonio? Because looking at it, everyone seems to be keeping Antonio in their team, and no one is Antonio is no one of all those players that have been transferred out. Everyone is still sticking to him. Why do you think that's the case, or should we be looking to sell him?
I think everyone doesn't want to sell him because his price has risen so much, and so you're afraid of selling him Because in FPL, there's cost price and selling price. So his cost price right now is 8 million, but his selling price is probably 7.7 million or 7.8 max. So if you sell him now for 7.7 and you buy him back, you buy him back for 8 million, then there was no point. So people are waiting to be sure that they don't want anything to do with him anymore before selling him, because if you sell and buy back, then it has been pointless. So I think that's what people are afraid of, because of he has increased so much from 7.5 million. Apart from that, I think that's really the main reason, because we have people like Ivan Toney, who is much cheaper, who can have a goal threat. We have the premiums who we expect to score more goals over the course of the season. So I think it's just that price increase that people are scared of.
Okay. All right. So finally, we're back at it with the captaincy pick. So who are the top three and who should we be going for?
I don't know about top three. I just have a top one for this week, and that is the Egyptian God. I wanted to say King. I wanted to say God, but I'll go with God. The Egyptian God, Mo Salah. I think he's the obvious pick this week, but Lukaku is also not a bad shout, and I'm struggling to see a third person.
Oh, so you're hiding on us. Normally, you usually give us more than two. But today, why are you giving us just one? No problem.
But today,
what about Ronaldo? Some people want to captain Ronaldo.
Captain Ronaldo against Leicester. I'm not sure what frame of mind United as a whole are going to be in, because you have the injuries to the key players at the back. You have the disappointing results just before the international break. And so, you can't bet against Ronaldo scoring. You obviously can never do that. But the thing is, I'd look at Salah and I'd say that Salah could score more than once against Watford, but Ronaldo might score just once. That's the problem.
Okay. Okay, so in order to be safe, it's just better to go for Mo Salah. Well,
yeah, but then Salah is going to be the most captain player this week, clearly. And sometimes that brings like an FPL cost whereby the most captain player blank. So hopefully this doesn't happen this week, because he's definitely going to be the most captain player.
Okay, like you just said now, so if you're looking to go against the crowd, who would you go for?
If I'm looking to go against the crowd, I think Lukaku looks like a safe bet. Or let me go more left field. I'll say Phil Foden. I expect him to start for City. He's in a rich vein of form. They just offered him a new contract, extended his contract so now he has 6 years left to run on his contract. So that's still 2027. And I think because we saw him against Liverpool playing wide left, and we know that when he plays wide left, he can still score from there, and he can give a lot of dangerous passes, and he could have assists. And with the way City always play against Burnley, I wouldn't be surprised if he gets a goal and an assist or something like that.
Okay, but I just want to even touch on one of...
Something I forgot to mention. I think it's very dangerous to go without a City midfielder or striker this game week. I think it's very, very dangerous. Let me not say it's dangerous, because they are lowly owned, but if you have one of them, and my pick would be Foden out of all of them, out of De Bruyne, Bernardo Silva, Sterling, Grealish, all of them, my pick would be Foden. And if you have one of them, with the way we expect City to score this weekend, then you could really have a boost in your rank.
Good shout. I think that's fair. That's fair, if I'm being honest. But I just want to highlight something. One of the people that I categorize as the forgotten man is actually Son Heung-min. So looking at their face in Newcastle, do you think it's a bad pick if you own Son to actually captain Son for this game week? Because if you're looking to go against the crowd and just be different from anyone else, you should look at players like Son to captain, is not?
Yeah. That's a good shout. I personally wouldn't do it, but at the same time, I understand someone that does it, because Son is a quality player.
Oh, because the last game week, I think he had double digits, so that's why I'm just looking at it. But no problem. We've come to the end of the program, or should I say the episode. Any last words?
Yeah, club football is back. Say no to international break, and please, we don't want them to do it. We want them to do just twice instead of four times. I support Arsene Wenger for that, and Yeah, let's go.
Okay, no problem. I'll just say, guys, make sure your popcorns are there, your drinks are there, so we all watch Phil Jones against West Africa. So, other than that, we'll see you in the next episode.
The man, the myth, the legend.